Chapter 18. In the distance, far across the scarred plain, there was a glimmer of reflected light. Mazik's coming, Card commented. Gillespie turned his attention from the refreshments table and squinted out past the crumbling fortress wall.
Someone's coming anyway,
he agreed, putting down his cup and the cold brewalki he'd been munching on and wiping his hands on his tunic. Pulling out his macro binoculars, he peered through them.
Yeah, it's him, he confirmed. Funny, he's got two other ships with him.
Card frowned at the approaching spot.
Two other ships? Take a look,
Gillespie said, handing over the macro binoculars. Card held them up to his eyes. There were three incoming, all right. A sleek space yacht and two slender, highly vicious-looking ships of an unfamiliar design.
You suppose he's brought some guests?
Gillespie asked.
He didn't say anything about guests when he checked in with Aves a few minutes ago,
Card said. Even as he watched, the two flanking ships left the formation, dropping to the plain below and vanishing into one of the deep ravines crisscrossing it.
Maybe you'd better check.
Maybe I'd better,
Card agreed, handing back the macro binoculars and pulling out his comlink.
Aves, you have some ID on our incoming?
Sure do,
Aves' voice came back.
Gimmicked IDs, all of them. But we read them as the Distant Rainbow, the Skyclaw, and the Raptor.
Card grimaced. The designs might not be familiar, but the names certainly were. Mazik's personal transport and two of his favorite customized fighters.
Thank you,
he said, and shut down the comlink.
Well?
Gillespie asked. Card returned the comlink to his belt.
It's just Mazik, he said.
What's that about Mazik?
Niles Ferrier's voice put in. Card turned. The ship thief was standing behind them at the refreshments table, a generous helping of charred perky nuts cupped in one hand.
I said Mazik was coming,
he repeated.
Good,
Ferrier nodded, popping one of the nuts into his mouth and cracking it loudly between his teeth.
About time. Finally get this meeting going.
He sauntered off, crunching as he went, nodding at Dravis and Klingon as he passed.
I thought you didn't want him here,
Gillespie muttered.
Card shook his head. I didn't. Apparently the feeling wasn't universal.
Gillespie frowned.
You mean someone else invited him? Who?
I don't know,
Card admitted, watching as Ferrier wandered over to the corner where Elor and his group had gathered.
I haven't found a way to ask around without looking either petty, suspicious, or overbearing. Anyway, it's probably quite innocent. Someone assuming that all those at the original Trogan meeting should continue to be involved.
The lack of an invitation notwithstanding?
Card shrugged.
Perhaps that was assumed to be an oversight. At any rate, calling attention to it at this point would only create friction. Some of the others already seem resentful that I've apparently taken over management of the operation.
Gillespie tossed that last bit of brewalki into his mouth.
Yeah, maybe it's innocent,
he said darkly.
But maybe it's not.
We're keeping a good watch on the likely approaches,
Card reminded him.
If Ferrier's made a deal with the Empire, we'll see them coming in plenty of time.
I hope so.
Gillespie grunted, surveying the refreshments table for his next target.
I hate running on a full stomach.
Card smiled, and he was starting to turn away when his comlink beeped. He pulled it out and flicked it on, eyes automatically turning to the sky.
Card,
he said into it.
This is Torv.
The other identified himself, and from the tone, Card knew something was wrong.
Could you step downstairs a minute?
Certainly,
Card said, his other hand dropping to his side and the blaster holstered there.
Should I bring anyone?
No need. We're not having a party or anything here.
Translation: reinforcements were already on their way.
Understood, Card said. I'll be right there.
He shut off the comlink and returned it to his belt.
Trouble?
Gillespie asked, eyeing Card over his glass.
We've got an intruder,
Card said, glancing around the courtyard. None of the other smugglers or their entourages seemed to be looking his direction.
Do me a favor and keep an eye on things here.
Sure. Anyone in particular I should watch?
Card looked at Ferrier, who had now left Elor and was heading toward Partah and her fellow Hodin.
Make sure Ferrier doesn't leave.
The main part of the base had been set up 3 levels below the top remaining floors of the ruined fortress, in what had probably been the kitchens and ancillary prep areas for a huge high-ceilinged room that had probably been a banquet area. The wild card was berthed in the banquet chamber itself, moderately tight fit for a ship its size, but offering the twin advantages of reasonable concealment plus the possibility for a quick exit should that become necessary. Card arrived at the high double doors to find Finn Torv and 5 of the crewers from the Starry Ice waiting with drawn blasters.
Report, he said.
We think someone's in there,
Torv told him grimly.
Chin was taking the Vornskers for a walk around the ship and saw something moving in the shadows along the south wall.
The wall closest to the wild card's lowered entrance ramp.
Anyone currently aboard the ship?
Lacton was working on the secondary command console,
Torp said.
Aves told him to sit tight on the bridge with his blaster pointed at the door until we got someone else there. Chin grabbed some of the Etherway people who were hanging around and started searching through the south end rooms. Denken is doing the same with the north end ones.
Card nodded.
That leaves the ship for us, then. You two,
he pointed to 2 of the Starry Ice crewers,
we'll stay here and guard the doors. Nice and easy. Let's go.
They pulled open one of the double doors and slipped inside. Directly ahead, the wild card's stern rose up darkly in front of them. 150 meters beyond it, glimpses of the blue Herjana sky could be seen through the broken fortress wall.
I wish we had better lighting in here,
Torv muttered as he looked around.
It looks easier to hide in than it really is,
Card assured him, pulling out his comlink.
Denken, Chin, this is Card. Report.
Nothing so far in the north end rooms.
Denken's voice came promptly.
I sent Corvus for some portable sensor equipment, but he's not back yet.
Nothing here either, Captain.
All right, Card said. We're coming in around the starboard side of the ship and heading for the entryway. Be ready to give us cover fire if we need it.
We're ready, Captain.
Card slid the comlink back in his belt.
Taking a deep breath, he headed out.
They searched the ship, the banquet chamber, and all the offices and storerooms on the periphery. And in the end, they found no one.
I must have imagined it,
Chin said morosely, as the searchers gathered together at the foot of the wild card's entrance ramp.
Sorry, Captain. Truly sorry.
Don't worry about it,
Card said, looking around the banquet chamber. Cleared or not, there was still an uneasy feeling tugging at him. Like someone was watching and laughing.
We all misread things sometimes, if this was in fact a misreading. Torv, you're certain you and Lacton covered the entire ship?
Every cubic meter of it,
Torv said firmly.
If anyone sneaked into the wild card, he was out long before we got here.
What about those Vornsker pets of yours, sir?
One of the Starry Ice crewers asked.
Are they any good at tracking?
Only if you're hunting Islamari or Jedi,
Card told him.
Well, whoever was here seems to be gone now. Still, we may have driven him off before he finished whatever it was he came to do. Torv, I want you to set up a guard detail for the area. Have Aves alert the duty personnel aboard the Starry Ice and Etherway as well.
Right,
Torv said, pulling out his comlink.
What about our guests upstairs? Should we warn them too?
What are we, their mothers?
One of the other crewers snorted.
They're big boys. They can look out for themselves.
I'm sure they can,
Card reproved him mildly.
But they're here at my invitation. As long as they're under our roof, they're under our protection.
Does that include whoever sent the intruder chin-spotted?
Lacton asked. Card looked up at his ship.
That will depend on what the intruder was sent to do, he said.
And speaking of his guests, it was time he got back to them. Mazik would have joined them by now, and Ferrier wasn't the only one impatient for the meeting to begin.
Lacton, as soon as Corvus gets here with those scanners, I want the two of you to run a complete check of the ship, starting with the exterior hull. Our visitor may have left us a gift, and I don't want to fly out of here with a homing beacon or timed concussion bomb aboard somewhere. I'll be up in the conference area if you need me.
He left them to their work, feeling once again Mara Jade's absence from the group. One of these days, he was going to have to make the time to go back to Coruscant and get her and Ghent back. Assuming he was allowed to do so, his information sources had picked up a vague and disturbing rumor that an unnamed woman had been caught giving assistance to an Imperial commando force on Coruscant. Given Mara's obvious disdain for Grand Admiral Thrawn, it was unlikely she would actually give his empire any help. But on the other hand, there were many in the New Republic starting to edge toward a kind of war hysteria. And given her shadowy history, Mara was an obvious candidate for that kind of accusation. All the more reason for him to get her off Coruscant. He reached the upper courtyard to find that Mazik had indeed arrived. He was standing with the Hodin group, talking earnestly with Parta, with a deceptively decorative female bodyguard he'd had at Trogan, an aloof half-step back from the conversation, trying to look inconspicuous. As were the pair of men just behind her, and the four standing around them a few meters away, and the six scattered elsewhere around the edges of the courtyard. Card paused in the arched entrance, a quiet warning alarm going off in the back of his head. For Mazik to bring a pair of fighting ships to protect him en route was one thing. To bring a full squad of enforcers into a friendly meeting was something else entirely. Either the Imperial attack on Trogan had made him uncharacteristically nervous, or else he wasn't planning for the meeting to remain quite so friendly.
Hey, Card!
Ferrier called, beckoning him over.
Come on, let's get this meeting out of the bay.
Certainly,
Card said, putting on his best host smile as he walked into the room. Too late now to bring some of his own people up here for balance. He would just have to hope that Mazik was merely being cautious.
Good afternoon, Mazik. Thank you for coming.
No problem,
Mazik said, his eyes cool. He didn't smile back.
We have more comfortable seats prepared in a room back this way,
Card said, gesturing to his left.
If you'd all care to follow me...
I have a better idea,
Mazik interrupted.
What do you say we hold this meeting inside the wild card?
Card looked at him. Mazik returned the gaze evenly, his face not giving anything away. Apparently he was not merely being cautious.
May I ask why?
Card asked.
Are you suggesting you have something to hide?
Mazik countered. Card allowed himself a cool smile.
Of course I have things to hide,
he said.
So does Parta, so does Elor, so do you. We're business competitors, after all.
So you won't allow us aboard the wild card?
Card looked at each of the smuggler chiefs in turn. Gillespie, Dravis, and Klingon were frowning, clearly with no idea at all as to what this was all about. Parta's Hodin face was difficult to read, but there was something about her stance that seemed oddly troubled. Elor was avoiding his eyes entirely. And Ferrier was smirking. Not obviously, almost invisibly, in fact, behind that beard of his. But enough. More than enough. And now, far too late, he finally understood. What Chin had seen, and what all of them had subsequently failed to catch, had been Ferrier's shadowy defil. Mazik's men were here. Cards were three levels down, guarding his ship and base against a danger that was long gone. And all his guests were waiting for his answer.
The wild card is berthed down below,
he told them.
If you care to follow me.
Duncan and Torv were conversing together at the foot of the wild card's entrance ramp as the group arrived.
Hello, Captain,
Duncan said, looking surprised.
Can we help you?
No help needed, Card said. We've decided to hold the meeting aboard ship, that's all.
Aboard ship?
Duncan echoed, his eyes flicking over the group and obviously not liking what he saw. Small wonder. Among the smuggler chief's aides and bodyguards, Mazik's enforcers stood out like a landing beacon cluster.
I'm sorry, I wasn't informed, he added,
hooking the thumb of his right hand casually into the top of his gun belt.
It was a rather spur-of-the-moment decision, Card told him.
Out of the corner of his eye, he could see the rest of his people in the banquet chamber beginning to drift from their assigned tasks as they spotted Duncan's hand signal, drifting into encirclement positions.
Oh, sure,
Duncan said, starting to look a little embarrassed.
Oh, the place really isn't set up for anything this fancy.
I mean, you know what the wardroom looks like.
We're not interested in the decor, Mazik interrupted. Please, step aside. We have business to attend to.
Right, I understand that,
Duncan said, looking even more embarrassed but holding his ground.
Problem is, we got a scanning crew aboard right now. It'll foul up the readings if we get more people coming and going.
So foul them up,
Ferrier put in.
Who do you think you are, anyway?
Duncan didn't get a chance to come up with an answer to that one. A whiff of perfume-scented air brushed across the side of Card's face, and the hard knob of a blaster muzzle dug gently into his side.
Nice try, Card, Mazik said, but it won't work. Call them off. Now.
Carefully, Card looked over his shoulder. Mazik's decorative bodyguard looked back, her eyes cool and very professional.
If I don't, then we have a firefight, Mazik said bluntly. Right here.
There was a quiet ripple of movement through the group.
Would someone like to tell me what's going on here?
Gillespie murmured uncertainly.
I'll tell you inside the ship, Mazik said, his eyes steady on Card. Assuming we all live to get in there, that part's up to our host.
I won't surrender my people to you, Card said quietly. Not without a fight.
I have no interest in your people, Mazik told him. Or your ship, or your organization. This is a personal matter between you and me, and our fellow smugglers.
Then let's have it out, Duncan suggested. We'll clear a space, you can choose weapons.
I'm not talking about some stupid private feud, Mazik cut him off. This is about treachery.
About what?
Gillespie asked.
Mazik.
Shut up, Gillespie,
Mazik said, throwing a quick glare at him.
Well, Card?
Slowly, Card looked around the group. There were no allies here. No friends who would stand firmly by him against whatever these phantom charges were that Mazik and Ferrier had concocted. Whatever respect any of them might have for him, whatever favors they might owe him, all of that was already forgotten. They would watch while his enemies took him down. And then they would each take a piece of the organization he'd worked so hard to build. But until that happened, the men and the other beings here were still his associates, and still his responsibility.
There's not enough room in the wardroom for anyone but the eight of us, he told Mazik quietly. All aides, bodyguards, and your enforcers will have to stay out here. Will you order them to leave my people alone?
For a long minute, Mazik studied his face. Then he nodded, a single curt jerk of his head.
As long as they're not provoked, they won't bother anyone. Shada, get his blaster. Card, after you.
Card looked at Duncan and Torv and nodded. Reluctantly, they moved away from the ramp, and he started up. Followed closely by the people he'd once hoped to make into a unified front against the Empire.
He should have known better.
They settled into the wardroom, Mazik nudging Card into a chair in one corner as the others found places around the table facing him.
All right, Card said. We're here. Now what?
I want your data cards, Mazik said. All of them. We'll start with the ones in your office.
Card nodded over his shoulder, through the door and down the corridor to the right.
Access codes?
None. I trust my people.
Mazik's lip twisted slightly.
Elor, go get them. And bring a couple of data pads back with you.
Wordlessly, the Duro stood up and left.
While we're waiting, Card said into the awkward silence, perhaps I could present the proposal I invited you to Hijarna to hear.
Mazik snorted.
You've got guts, Card. I'll give you that. Guts and style. Let's just sit quiet for now, okay?
Card looked at the blaster pointed at him.
Whatever you wish.
Elor returned a minute later, carrying a tray full of data cards with two data pads balanced on top.
Okay,
Mazik said, as the Duro sat down beside him.
Give one of the data pads to Pata and start going through them. You both know what to look for.
I must acknowledge at the beginning,
Elor said,
that I do not like this.
I agree,
Pata said, her head appendages writhing like disturbed snakes.
To fight openly against a competitor is part of business. But this is different.
This isn't about business, Mazik said.
Of course not, Card agreed. He's already said he has no interest in my organization, remember?
Don't try playing on my words, Card,
Mazik warned.
I hate that as much as I hate being led around by the nose.
I'm not leading anyone by the nose, Mazik,
Card said quietly.
I've dealt squarely with all of you since this whole thing began.
Maybe. That's what we're here to find out.
Card looked around the table, remembering back to the chaos that had flooded through the twilight world of smuggling after the collapse of Jabba the Hutt's organization. Every group in the galaxy had scrambled madly to pick up the pieces, snatching ships and people and contracts for themselves, sometimes fighting viciously for them. The larger organizations particularly had profited quite handsomely from the Hutt's demise. He wondered if Aves would be able to beat them off.
Aves and Mara.
Anything yet?
Mazik asked.
We will tell you if there is,
Parta said, her off-pitch tone betraying her displeasure with the whole situation. Card looked at Mazik.
Would you mind at least telling me what it is I've allegedly done?
Yeah, I want to hear it too,
Gillespie seconded. Mazik leaned back in his seat, resting his gun hand on his thigh.
It's very simple, he said. That attack on Trogon, the one where my friend Lishma was killed, appears to have been staged.
What do you mean, staged?
Dravis asked.
Just what I said. Someone hired an Imperial lieutenant and his squad to attack us.
Klingon rumbled deep in his throat.
Imperial troops do not work for hire,
he growled.
This group did, Mazik told him.
Who said so?
Gillespie demanded. Mazik smiled tightly.
The most knowledgeable source there is. Grand Admiral Thrawn.
There was a moment of stunned silence. Dravis found his voice first.
No kidding, he said. And he just happened to mention this to you?
They picked me up poking around Joyal system and took me to the Chimera, Mazik said, ignoring the sarcasm. After the incident at the Bilbringi shipyards, I thought I was in for a rough time. But Thrawn told me he just pulled me in to clear the air. That no one in the Empire had ordered the Trogon attack, and that I shouldn't hold them responsible for it. And then he let me go.
Having conveniently implied that I was the one you should hold responsible,
Card suggested.
He didn't finger you specifically, Mazik said. But who else had anything to gain by getting us mad at the Empire?
We're talking a Grand Admiral here, Mazik,
Card reminded him.
A Grand Admiral who delights in leisurely and convoluted strategies. and who has a personal interest in destroying me. Mazik smiled tightly.
I'm not just taking Thrawn's word for this card. I had a friend do a little digging through Imperial military records before I came here. He got me the complete details of the Trogon arrangement.
Imperial records can be altered, Card pointed out.
Like I said, I'm not taking their word for it, Mazik retorted. But if we find the other end of the deal here...
He lifted his blaster slightly.
I'd say that would be hard evidence.
I see,
Card murmured, looking at Ferrier. So that was what his Defil had been doing down here, planting Mazik's hard evidence.
I suppose it's too late to mention that we had an intruder down here a few minutes before you arrived.
Ferrier snorted.
All right. Nice try, Card, but a little late.
A little late for what?
Dravis asked, frowning.
He's trying to throw suspicion on someone else, that's all,
Ferrier said contemptuously.
Trying to make you think one of us planted that data card on him.
What data card?
Gillespie scoffed.
We haven't found any data card.
Yes, we have,
Elor said softly. Card looked at him. Elor's flat face was stiff, his emotions unreadable as he silently handed his data pad to Mazik. The other took it, and his face, too, hardened.
So there it is,
he said softly, laying the data pad on the table.
Well, I suppose there's nothing else to say.
Wait a second, Gillespie objected. There is, too. Card's right about that intruder. I was with him upstairs when the alert came through.
Mazik shrugged.
Fine, I'll play. What about it, Card? What did you see?
Card shook his head, trying to keep his eyes off the muzzle of Mazik's blaster.
Nothing, unfortunately. Chin thought he saw some movement near the ship, but we weren't able to locate anyone.
I didn't notice all that many places out there where anyone could hide,
Mazik pointed out.
A human couldn't, no, Card agreed. On the other hand, it didn't occur to us at the time just how many shadows there were along the walls and near the doors.
Meaning you think it was my wraith, huh?
Ferrier put in.
That's typical, Card. Fire off a few hints and try to fog the issue. Well, forget it. It won't work.
Card frowned at him, at the aggressive face but wary eyes, and suddenly he realized he'd been wrong about the setup here. Ferrier and Mazik were not, in fact, working together on this. It was Ferrier alone. Probably under Thrawn's direction, who was trying to bring him down. Which meant Mazik honestly thought Card had betrayed them all. Which meant, in turn, that there might still be a chance to persuade him otherwise.
Let me try this, then,
he said, shifting his attention back to Mazik.
Would I really be so careless as to leave a record of my treachery here? Where anyone could find it.
You didn't know we'd be looking for it,
Ferrier said before Mazik could answer. Card cocked an eyebrow at him.
Oh, so now it's we, Ferrier? You're assisting Mazik on this?
He's right, Card. Stop trying to fog the issue,
Mazik said.
You think Thrawn would go to all this effort just to take you down? He could have done that straight out of Trogon.
He couldn't touch me at Trogon. Card shook his head. Not with all of you there watching. He would have risked stirring up the entire fringe against him. No, this way is much better. He destroys me, discredits my warnings about him, and retains both your goodwill and your services.
Klingon shook his shaggy head.
No! Thrawn is not like Vader. He would not waste troops in a deliberately failed attack.
I agree, Card said. I don't think he ordered the Trogon attack, either. I think someone else planned that raid, and that Thrawn's simply making the best use of it he can.
I suppose you're going to try and put that one on me, too,
Ferrier growled.
I haven't accused anyone, Ferrier, Card reminded him mildly. One might think you had a guilty conscience.
There he goes, fogging things again,
Ferrier said, looking around the table before turning his glare back to Card.
You already practically flat-out accused my Wraith of planting that data card in here.
That was your suggestion, not mine, Card said, watching the other closely. Thinking on his feet obviously wasn't Ferrier's strong point, and the strains were starting to show. If he could push just a little harder. But since we're on the subject, where is your Defo?
He's on my ship, Ferrier said promptly. Over in the western courtyard with everyone else's. He's been there since I landed.
Why? Ferrier frowned.
What do you mean, why? He's there because he's part of my crew.
No, I mean, why isn't he outside the wild card with the rest of the bodyguards?
Who said he was a bodyguard?
Card shrugged.
I simply assumed he was. He was playing that role on Trogon, after all.
That's right, he was,
Gillespie said slowly,
standing over against the wall, where he was all ready to hit the Imperials when they came in.
Almost as if he knew they were coming,
Card agreed. Ferrier's face darkened.
Card?
Enough! Mazik cut him off. This isn't evidence, Card, and you know it. Anyway, what would Ferrier have to gain by setting up an attack like that?
Perhaps so he could be conspicuous in helping us fight it off, Card suggested, hoping it would soothe our suspicions about his relationship with the Empire.
Twist all the words you want,
Ferrier said, jabbing a finger at the datapad sitting on the table beside Mazik.
But that data card doesn't say I hired Kusk and his squad. It says you did. Personally, I think we've heard enough of this.
Just a minute,
Mazik interrupted, turning to face him.
How do you know what the data card says?
You told us,
Ferrier said.
You said it was the other half of the...
I never mentioned the lieutenant's name.
The room was suddenly very quiet, and behind his beard, Ferrier's face had gone pale.
You must have.
No,
Mazik said coldly.
I didn't.
No one said it,
Klingon rumbled. Ferrier glared at him.
This is insane,
he spat, some of his courage starting to come back.
All the evidence points straight to Card, and you're gonna let him off just because I happen to hear this Kosk's name somewhere? Maybe one of the stormtroopers on Trogon shouted it during the fight. How should I know?
Well then, here's an easier question, Card said. Tell us how you learned the time and location of this meeting, given your lack of an invitation.
Mazik shot a look at him.
You didn't invite him?
Card shook his head.
I've never really trusted him. Not since I heard about his role in Thrawn's acquisition of the Katana fleet. He wouldn't have been a Trogon at all if Gillespie hadn't made the invitation more or less open to anyone.
Well, Ferrier,
Drabus prompted.
Or are you gonna claim one of us told you?
There were tight lines at the corners of Ferrier's eyes.
I picked up the transmission to Mazik,
he muttered.
Decrypted it. Figure I ought to be here.
Pretty fast decrypting work, Gillespie commented. Those were good encrypt codes we were using. You kept a copy of the original encrypted transmission, of course. Ferrier stood up.
I don't have to sit here and listen to this, he growled. Card's the one on trial here, not me.
Sit down, Ferrier,
Mazik said softly. His blaster was no longer pointed at Card.
But he's the one,
Ferrier insisted. His right hand shot out, forefinger pointed accusingly at Card.
He's the one who...
Watch out! Gillespie snapped, but it was too late. With his right hand waving out in front of him as a diversion, Ferrier's left hand had dipped into his waist sash and was now back out in front of him, holding a thermal detonator.
All right. Hands on the table,
he snarled.
Drop it, Mazik.
Slowly, Mazik laid his blaster on the table.
You can't possibly get out of here, Ferrier, he bit out. It'll be a toss-up between Shada and my enforcers.
They'll never even get a shot at me,
Ferrier said, reaching over to pick up Mazik's blaster.
Wraith, get in here.
Behind him, the wardroom door slid open, and a black shadow moved silently into the room. A black shadow with red eyes and a hint of long white fangs. Klingon swore, a roiling Zehethbra curse.
So, Card was right about all of it. You have betrayed us to the Empire.
Ferrier ignored him.
Watch them,
he ordered, shoving Mazik's blaster at the shadow and drawing his own.
Come on, Card. We're going to the bridge.
Card didn't move.
If I refuse,
I kill you all and take the ship up myself,
Ferrier told him shortly.
Maybe I should do that anyway. Thrawn'd probably pay a good bounty on all of you.
I concede the point,
Card said, getting to his feet.
This way.
They reached the bridge without incident.
You're flying,
Ferrier instructed, gesturing toward the helm with his blaster as he took a quick look at the displays.
Good. I figured you'd have it ready to go.
Where are we going?
Card asked, sitting down in the helm seat. Through the viewport, he could see some of his people, oblivious to his presence up here as they maintained their uneasy standoff with Mazik's enforcers.
Out, up, and over,
Ferrier told him, motioning toward the broken fortress wall ahead with his blaster.
We'll start with that.
I see,
Card said, keying for a pre-flight status report with his right hand and letting his left drop casually to his knee. Just above it, built into the underside of the main console, was a knee panel with the controls for the ship's external lights.
What happens then?
What do you think?
Ferrier retorted, crossing over to the comm station and giving it a quick look.
We get out of here. You got any other ships on comm standby?
The Starry Ice and Aetherway,
Card said, turning the exterior running lights on and then off three times. Outside the viewport, frowning faces began turning to look up at him.
I trust you're not going to try to go very far.
Ferrier grinned at him.
What? You afraid I'll steal your precious freighter?
You're not going to steal it,
Card said, locking eyes with him.
I'll destroy it first.
Ferrier snorted.
Big talk from someone on the wrong end of a blaster,
he said contemptuously, hefting the weapon for emphasis.
I'm not bluffing,
Card warned him, turning on the running lights again and risking a casual look out the viewport. Between the warning flicker of lights and the sight of Ferrier holding a blaster on him, the crowd out there had presumably caught on to what was happening. He hoped so, anyway. If they hadn't, the Wild Card's unannounced departure would probably trigger a firefight.
Sure you're not,
Ferrier grunted, dropping into the co-pilot station beside him.
Relax. You're not going to have to be a hero. I'd like nothing better than to take the Wild Card off your hands, but I know better than to try to run a ship like this with half a crew. No, all you're going to do is take me back to my ship. We'll get out of here and lay low until all this blows over.
He threw one last look at the displays and nodded.
Okay, let's go.
Mentally crossing his fingers, Card eased in the repulsor lifts and nudged the ship forward. Half expecting a barrage of blaster shots from the crowd of aides and bodyguards outside. But no one opened fire as he maneuvered carefully through the jagged stone edging of the opening and out into the open air.
Yeah, they're all gone from in there, all right,
Ferrier said casually into the silence.
Probably scrambling to get back to their ships so they can chase after us.
You don't seem worried about it.
I'm not,
Ferrier said.
All you have to do is get me to my ship a little ahead of them. You can do that, right?
Card looked over at the blaster pointed at him.
I'll do my best.
They made it easily, even as the Wild Card settled to the cracked stone beside a modified Corellian gunship. The others were just beginning to appear from the archways leading into the main part of the fortress, a good couple of minutes away.
Knew you could do it,
Ferrier complimented him sarcastically, standing up and keying the intercom.
Wraith, hit the door. We're out of here.
There was no response.
Wraith, you hear me?
She will not be hearing anything for a while.
Klingon's voice rumbled back.
If you want him, you will have to carry him.
Viciously, Ferrier slapped off the intercom.
Fool! I should have known better than to trust a stupid wraith with anything. Better yet, I should have killed all of you right at the start.
Perhaps, Card said. He nodded across the courtyard toward the approaching bodyguards and enforcers. I don't think you have the time to correct that oversight now.
I'll just have to do it later,
Ferrier shot back.
I could still take care of you, though.
Only if you're willing to die along with me, Card countered, shifting slightly in his seat to show that his left hand was holding down one of the knee panel switches. As I said, I'd rather destroy this ship than let you have it.
For a long moment, he thought Ferrier was going to try it anyway. Then, with obvious reluctance, the ship thief shifted his arm and sent two shots sizzling into the fire control section of the control board.
Another time, Card, he said.
He stepped back to the bridge door, threw a quick look outside as it opened, and then slipped through.
Card took a deep breath, exhaled it slowly. Releasing the landing light switch he'd been holding down, he stood up.
15 seconds later, he spotted Ferrier through the viewport as he sprinted alone toward his gunship. Reaching carefully past the sizzling hole in his control board, he keyed the intercom.
This is Card, he said. You can unbarricade the door now. Ferrier's left. Do you need any medical help or assistance with your prisoner?
No to both,
Gillespie assured him.
Defil might be good at sneaking around, but they're not much good as jailers. So Ferrier just abandoned him here, huh?
No more or less than I would have expected from him,
Card said. Outside the viewport, Ferrier's gunship was rising on its repulsor lifts, rotating toward the west as it did so.
He's lifting now. Warn everyone not to leave the ship. He's bound to have something planned to discourage pursuit.
And he did. The words were barely out of Card's mouth when the hovering ship ejected a large canister into the air overhead. There was a flash of light, and suddenly the sky exploded into a violently expanding tangle of metal mesh. The net stretched itself out across the courtyard and settled to the ground, throwing off sparks where it draped itself across the parked ships.
A Connor net,
Dravis's voice came from behind him.
Typical ship thief trick.
Card turned. Dravis, Partaw, and Mazik were standing just inside the door, looking through the viewport at the departing gunship.
We have plenty of people outside it, he reminded them. It shouldn't take long to get it burned off.
He must not be allowed to escape,
Partaw insisted, making a Hodin gesture of contempt toward the gunship.
He won't, Card assured her.
The gunship was streaking low across the plain, staying out of range of anything the netted ships might still be able to fire at him.
The Aetherway and Starry Ice are standing ready, north and south of here.
He turned back and lifted an eyebrow toward Mazik.
But under the circumstances, I think Mazik should have the honor.
Mazik gave him a tight smile.
Thank you,
he said softly, pulling out his comlink.
Griv, Amber, gunship on the way. Take it.
Card looked back. The gunship was nearly to the horizon now, starting its vertical climb toward space. And as he watched, Mazik's two fighters rose behind it from their hiding places and gave pursuit.
I guess I owe you an apology,
Mazik said from behind him. Card shook his head.
Forget it, he said.
Or better, don't forget it.
Keep it as a reminder of the way Grand Admiral Thrawn does business, and what people like us ultimately mean to him.
Don't worry,
Mazik said softly. I won't forget.
Good, Card said briskly.
Well then, let's get our people out there busy on this net. I'm sure we'd all prefer to be off Hijarna before the Empire realizes their scheme has failed.
In the distance, just above the horizon, there was a brief flare of light.
And while we're waiting, Card added, I still have a proposal to present to you.